The city of Kabul was built on 5 rugged hillsides, with the streets laid out in terraces and the buildings built partly into the hills. There was no evidence of Roman or Greek influence in the architecture, but instead, the larger buildings had tile roofs that turned up at the corners, a style that Joshua and I would see all over Asia before our journey was finished. The people were mostly rugged, wiry people who looked like Arabs without the glow in their skin that came from a diet rich in olive oil. Instead, their faces seemed leaner, drawn by the cold, dry wind of the high desert. In the market, there were merchants and traders from China, and more men who looked like Ahmad and his bowmen guards, a race whom the Chinese referred to simply as barbarians.
"The Chinese are so afraid of my people that they have built a wall as high as any palace, as wide as the widest boulevard in Rome, and stretching as far as the eye can see 10 times over," Ahmad said.
"Uh-huh," I said, thinking, "you lying bag of guts." Joshua hadn't spoken to Ahmad since the bandit attack, but he smirked at Ahmad's story of the Great Wall.
"Just so," said Ahmad. "We will stay at an inn tonight. Tomorrow I will take you to Balthazar. If we leave early, we can be there by noon. Then you'll be the magician's problem, not mine. Meet me in front at dawn."
That night, the innkeeper and his wife served us a dinner of spiced lamb and rice, with some sort of beer made from rice, which washed 2 months of desert grit from our throats and put a pleasant haze over our minds. To save money, we paid for pallets under the wide, curving eaves of the inn, and although it was some comfort to have a roof over my head for the first time in months, I found that I missed looking at the stars as I fell asleep. I lay awake, half drunk, for a long time. Joshua slept the sleep of the innocent. The next day, Ahmad met us in front of the inn with 2 of his African guards and 2 extra camels in tow.
"Come on now. This may be the end of your journey, but it is merely a detour for me," Ahmad said.
He threw us each a crust of bread and a hunk of cheese, which I took to mean we were to eat our breakfast on the way. We rode out of Kabul and into the hills until we entered a labyrinth of canyons, which meandered through rugged mountains that looked as if they might have been shaped by God out of clay. Then, left to bake in the sun until the clay had turned to a deep golden color that reflected light in a spray that ate up shadows and destroyed shade. By noon, I had no sense whatsoever of what direction we were traveling, nor could I have sworn that we weren't retracing our path through the same canyons over and over. But Ahmad's black guards seemed to know their way. Eventually, they led us around a bend to a sheer canyon wall, 200 feet tall, that stood out from other canyon walls in that there were windows and balconies carved into it. It was a palace hewn out of solid rock. At the base stood an ironclad door that looked as if it would take 20 men to move.
"Balthazar's house," Ahmad said, prodding his camel to kneel down so he might dismount.
Joshua nudged me with his riding stick.
"Hey, is this what you expected?"
I shook my head. "I don't know what I expected. Maybe something a little, I don't know, smaller?"
"Could you find your way back out of these canyons if you had to?" Joshua asked.
"Nope. You?"
"Not a chance."
Ahmad waddled over to the great door and pulled a cord that hung down from a hole in the wall. Somewhere inside, we heard the ringing of some great bell. Only later would we learn that it was the sound of a gong. A smaller door within the door opened, and a girl stuck her head out.
"What?"
She had the round face and high cheekbones of an Oriental, and there were great blue wings painted on her face above her eyes.
"It's Ahmad. Ahmad Mahad Yubai Dalaganji. I brought Balthazar, the boy he has been waiting for."
Ahmad gestured in our direction. The girl looked skeptical.
"Squawny, you're sure that's the one?"
"That's the one. Tell Balthazar he owes me."
"Who's that with him?"
"That's his stupid friend. No extra charge for him."
"You bring the monkey's paws?"
the girl asked.
"Yes, and the other herbs and minerals Balthazar asked for."
"Okay, wait here."
She closed the door, was gone only a second, then returned.
"Send just the 2 of them in alone. Balthazar must examine them, then he will deal with you." There's no need to be mysterious, woman. I've been in Balthazar's house 100 times. Now quit dilly-dallying and open the door.
Sirens! The girl shouted. The great Balthazar will not be mocked. Send in the boys alone.
Then she slammed the little door, and we could hear her cackling echo out the windows above. Ahmad shook his head in disgust and waved us over to the door.
Just go. I don't know what he's up to, but just go.
Joshua and I dismounted, took our packs off the camels, and edged over to the huge door. Joshua looked at me as if wondering what to do, then reached for the cord to ring the bell. But as he did, the door creaked open just wide enough for one of us to enter if we turned sideways. It was pitch black inside, except for a narrow stripe of light, which told us nothing. Joshua again looked at me and raised his eyebrows.
I'm just a stupid, no extra charge friend, I said, bowing. After you.
Joshua moved through the door and I followed. When we were inside only a few feet, the huge door slammed with a sound like thunder, and we stood there in complete darkness. I'm sure I could feel things scurrying around my feet in the dark. There was a bright flash, and a great column of red smoke rose in front of us, illuminated by a light coming from the ceiling somewhere. It smelled of brimstone and stung my nose. Joshua coughed, and we both backed against the door as a figure stepped out of the smoke. It stood as tall as any 2 men, although he was thin. He wore a long purple robe, embroidered with strange symbols in gold and silver, hooded, so we saw no face, only glowing red eyes set back in a field of black. He held a bright lamp out as if to examine us by the light.
Satan, I said under my breath to Joshua, pressing my back against the great iron door so hard that I could feel rust flakes embedding in my skin through my tunic.
It's not Satan, Joshua said.
Who would disturb the sanctity of my fortress?
Boomed the figure. I nearly wet myself at hearing his voice.
I'm Joshua of Nazareth,
Joshua said, trying to be casual, but his voice broke on Nazareth.
And this is Biff, also of Nazareth. We're looking for Balthazar. He came to Bethlehem, where I was born, many years ago, looking for me. I have to ask him some questions.
Balthazar is no more of this world.
The dark figure reached into his robe and pulled out a glowing dagger, which he held high, then plunged into his own chest. There was an explosion, a flash, and an anguished roar, as if someone had killed a lion. Joshua and I turned and frantically scratched at the iron door, looking for a latch. We were both making an incoherent, terrorized sound that I can only describe as the verbal version of running. Sort of an extended rhythmic howl that paused only when the last of each lungful of air squeaked out of us. Then I heard the laughing, and Joshua grabbed my arm. The laughing got louder. Joshua swung me around to face death in purple. As I turned, the dark figure threw back his hood, and I saw the grinning black face and shaved head of a man. A very tall man, but a man nonetheless. He threw open the robe, and I could see that it was, indeed, a man. A man who had been standing on the shoulders of 2 young Asian women who had been hiding beneath the very long robe.
Just fucking with you, he said. Then he giggled.
He leapt off the women's shoulders and took a deep breath before doubling over and hugging himself with laughter. Tears streamed out of his big chestnut eyes.
You should have seen the look on your faces. Girls, did you see that?
The women, who wore simple linen robes, didn't seem as amused as the man. They looked embarrassed and a little impatient, as if they'd rather be anywhere else, doing anything but this.
Balthazar? Joshua asked.
Yeah,
said Balthazar, who stood up now and was only a little taller than I was.
Sorry, I don't get many visitors. So you're Joshua?
Yes,
Joshua said, an edge in his voice.
I didn't recognize you without the swaddling clothes. And this is your servant?
My friend, Biff.
Same thing. Bring your friend. Come in. The girls will attend to Ahmad for the time being.
He stalked off down a corridor into the mountain, his long purple robe trailing behind him like the tail of a dragon. We stood there by the door, not moving, until we realized that once Balthazar turned a corner with his lamp, we'd be in darkness again, so we took off after him. As we ran down the corridor, I thought of how far we had traveled and what we had left behind, and I felt as if I was going to be sick to my stomach any second. "Wise man," I said to Joshua. "My mother has never lied to me," said Josh. "That you know of," I said.